Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a very windy, rainy, cold Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 20th, 2011, episode 254, sponsored today by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Okay, Glenn. Jennifer, can you hit the play button because it ain't working?
Oh, let's see here. Thursday. Oh, here we go. Thursday.
Thank you.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Oh, let's hope that's not a moment of the day to come, huh?
Oh, every once in a while a button cannot work. It just, you know, it just makes me sit there and go, what is Glenn doing right now? Where did he go?
Trying to get the button to work.
Well, Bert, I would like to thank everybody, by the way, for the birthday wishes yesterday. So fun. Birthdays, especially when you have Facebook, are so much fun. I mean, we've got, I'm just going to roll through these here. Robert Dunn, Angela Thomas, Don Bailey, Kayla Mueller, Lisa Bike, Rhonda Crabtree, and Barbara Evans, Don Deems. All of them posted on our Facebook page, happy birthday. And I had an awesome day, and I cannot wait to tell you about it. So thank you all very, very much.
I can't wait to hear about it. Well, let's go to Jennifer, because I know we have a packed show today. We have a ton of guests.
We do. On today's Horseshow.com Thursday edition, we break from the gate this morning with listener Rick Connolly stopping by to tell us about a 21st century wagon train that recently plotted its way across Kentucky. It was pretty cool. Next up, Dr. Oakley is back with us today for some 21st century advice on dealing with bruised relationships as a result of discovering your horse addiction late in life. And if you need to do some relationship repair, stay tuned for the Alltech National Horse Show Trivia, where you could enter to win a pair of tickets to the Alltech National Horse Show coming up in November. It will be a welcome gift for any horse junkie in your life. And to round out the morning, the Chronicle of the Horses' Lisa is here with her unique recap of the Fairhill three-day event that just finished up in Maryland. So stay tuned. Now it's your
turn. Okay, Jennifer, can you hit the Daily Winnie, too? Because that ain't working either.
Daily
Winnie. I think you're going to be in charge of town today. Thank you. Apparently mine is not just not working, so you're going to be sound girl today. My Daily Winnie goes, remember Kayla Mueller the other day I gave the Daily Winnie to? Well, she put a little Facebook post on our page and said, thank you very much for the Daily Winnie. She said she got it, and she said that she heard about the show from her stepmother, and her stepmother got her and the other girls at their barn hooked on it. So a big shout-out to Team Fox Hill Eventing in Maryland, who apparently love horses in the morning. So, Team Fox Hill Eventing, good morning, everybody. Looks like you have a nice place. I went to their website, and it's in Maryland, so Centerville, Maryland.
What's up, Eventing family? Woo-woo! I love it. That's awesome. I love that. You know, my coach in her barn won't listen, but I'm glad you guys are.
Seems like, you know what it is? It's people that know us just don't listen to us because they get enough of us to begin with.
You know, you make a really good point. Well, here is mine. Well, Well, this one has to go out to my dear sweet husband, Chad, because of the day he provided me with yesterday. Are you ready to find out what's the birthday gift and what the afternoon was supposed to entail?
I am, but I saw a picture on your Facebook page of a gerbil. And
of what?
He got you a rodent.
It's not a gerbil, Glenn. It's a guinea pig. Totally different.
They're
guinea
different?
Pigs are like big. They're like the size of a giant Idaho potato.
Aren't they both rodents, though? I mean, like rats.
Well, I wouldn't call them a rat. They may be actually rodents. I don't know. But Chad was like, what are those things good for? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure the people in New Guinea eat them. So I'm like, if worst comes to worst, you can skewer them. No, just kidding. No, yesterday I told you that he had told me at noon to stop what I was doing, to cancel all my appointments, that he was going to take me out. Okay, and he wasn't going to tell me where. So he picks me up at noon, and he takes me to lunch, and we had an awesome lunch at a Greek place. It was fantastic. Then we get in the car, and I'm like, where are we going? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? You told me to take the entire day off. He goes, well, I don't really know because things kind of got screwed up. What do you mean things got screwed up? Where are we going? Like, let's go. I thought we were going hiking. I'm like, what are we doing? He goes, well, I had planned and I had talked to the woman and I had confirmed it and I had bought you 2 chickens for your birthday because, you know, we don't have any chickens because they were all lost to predators. And that was like 6 months ago. And we've been talking about getting a new flock because we moved to a new place that has a very safe chicken coop. And he's like, well, so I found the chickens and I talked to the lady and I told her I was bringing you over here today to pick up the chickens. However, I got a text message this morning saying that she had sold them and don't worry about coming.
Must have been a Craigslist ad.
How did you know? He was like, I had picked out the perfect chicken. He was like, it's even a special breed. It's called a Sussex, and I had already named it Stella. He's like, so he's like, he had already picked out the chicken. He had done breed research. He had named it. And then this woman from Craigslist sells it the morning of his wife's birthday and calls him and is like, never mind, don't come. So he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with you because I was like, oh, you're so sweet. You're going to get us chickens. I said, well, let's just see what we can do about this. Now, I know that just outside of Phoenix, there is the craziest place on the planet, and it's called Pratt's, like, Livestock and Feed. Pratt's Livestock and Feed, and it is like as country bumpkin as it gets, and it's also this, like, it's a feed store, but it's also a bizarro kind of weird pet store where they have like people bring in their chickens and then they sell their chickens for you, or you bring in a sheep, or you just never know what kind of animals are going to be in Pratt's Livestock and Feed at all. I think that's what it's called. So I said, well, we could just go to, I said, honey, why don't we go to this store that's not too far away? He's like, okay, great. So maybe they have chickens. I call the place. They're like, yeah, we have chickens, no problem. So we get in the car, we're driving. Now, mind you, we have just left the Air Force base, and then we have just gone to lunch. So my husband is actually still wearing his flight suit, like still dressed all military, wearing the flight suit, and we pull up to Pratt's Livestock and Feed. We're sitting outside.
Is that where you got the gerbil?
I didn't get a gerbil, Glenn. Didn't get a gerbil. So he says, well, he goes, I'm pretty sure that I'm the first person in a flight suit to ever enter this building. And he said, I would.
Well,
you
know, a flight suit is sort of like coveralls. Sort of. Minus the
you
badges
make a
and
good
ribbons.
Except for I don't think coveralls are flame retardant and like thousands.
They don't
of
have little wings and stuff on them. Yeah.
So we go in here and we're looking around at all the bizarre animals. Like, they've got a collection of snakes. Why you have a collection of snakes? I don't know, like boa constrictors. And then they had a whole section of ferrets. And then they had this whole container, like this big giant Tupperware container full of bunny rabbits. Like 10 bunny rabbits in this little container. And I look and I'm like, oh, look at the bunnies. And I'm like, look in there. There's a tiny little guinea pig in with the bunny rabbits, honey. And so I reach down and scoop him up. So we're walking. He's like, just put it back. Just put it back. Just go ahead and walk back over there and put it back. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to just walk around with him. I'm just holding him. And this guinea pig is sitting in my hands. And he's like purring. And he's licking my arm. And he's just being so sweet, Glenn. So I couldn't put him back. He needed some attention. And he was the only guinea pig amongst all those bunny rabbits. So we go outside to the back where they have the chickens. And so we pick out two lovely little hens that are now named Stella and Corona. And then we're walking back because they were both like, they looked like. Well, the one that he wanted to name one Stella. And so I thought, well, that's a beer. So the other one is like a yellow chicken. And so it's like looks the same color as Corona. So we named it Corona. So now we have chickens named after beer. And we're walking back to the front, and they boxed up the chickens. They don't have fancy carrying cases or anything. They just shove them in a box and close it up. So he goes to put the boxes in the trunk. What?
That's how we used to transport our chickens.
Really?
Cardboard box, close the top, and hope they don't peck their way out before you get home.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, he goes to put them in the trunk. And I'm like, honey, you cannot put boxes of chickens in the trunk. They will die.
110 degrees.
Yeah, seriously. It was 100 degrees outside. She's like, well, whatever, they're your chickens. I'll put them in the back seat. So he puts them in the back seat. And he's like, okay, we need to pay. Go put the guinea pig back. I'm like, honey, I ain't putting it back. He's like, seriously, I just bought you two chickens for your birthday. Go put the guinea pig back. Put it back, put it back, put it back. And I'm like, no. I can't. Look, he loves me. He loves me, and he's snuggling up to me, and he's so sweet. He's like, put it back. I'm like, I'm not putting it back. Jamie, go walk over there. Give it to me. I'm going to put it back. You're not putting it back. He's like, I'm not going to win this one, am I? I'm like, I'm not putting it back. We will walk. I am walking out of here with this, with or without you.
God, you can be stubborn.
I know. So he's like, okay, fine. And I'm like, oh, good. We need to get some feed. We need to get a cat, blah, blah.
The guinea pig is $3, and everything else is $300.
That's pretty much what happened. He's like, I came here for two chickens, and I'm living here spending $150 on guinea pig crap.
Yeah, because a guinea pig, you can't have a little rodent without having a little wheel and a little tunnel and all that stuff.
I think he needs to go. We need to go back and get the leash. They have like a harness and leash system.
Oh, good. The cattle love that.
Yeah, you know who really loves the guinea pig was Boomer when we brought him home. He was a little bit crazy. So the guinea pig is currently locked up in a safe place outside. So Chad's like, well, we've got a chicken named Stella and a chicken named Corona. He's like, your guinea pig is dark brown. We're naming it Guinness. So I not only got...
It used to be baseball names. What happened to baseball player names?
Well, we named all of our chickens after baseball players, but they all died. It's not funny. At least if it's beer, you know, you're not like naming it like after somebody. Although we did decide that we were trying to decide between beer names and our friends' names. Like we were going to name a chicken Glenn.
The one with the gray beard?
Like, come here, Jennifer. Come here, chicken, chicken. Come here, Robert.
So you got a couple of chickens. Okay, so we got a couple of chickens, and we got a little rodent. So you've got something for the cats and the dogs to consume for lunch.
Yes, it's going to be an exciting adventure around here. Thank God we got the little vibrating Chuck collar thing for Boomer, because he's going to have to wear that thing religiously. However, it is not that big a deal. We have a section for chickens and a guinea pig on our farm, and it's a completely enclosed coop thing. We didn't build it. It was here when we bought the house. We really were excited about it. So if Jennifer wants to go ahead and post the picture of Guinness, the guinea pig, she already did. Oh, he's so stinking cute. I can't wait to go play with him. Does anybody know, is there a way to neuter a guinea pig?
Do we even know if it's a boy or a girl?
Oh, my God. I know it's a boy because he has the biggest balls like ever. Oh,
okay,
my God.
On that note.
I'm like, that is like pornographic. He needs a sucker's cone.
Well, we know he's all there. Probably you really don't have to worry about him being too studdish.
What's he going to breed with? A chicken?
Exactly. The chicken?
That might happen.
All right.
We got flying guinea pigs. Awesome.
Let's go to our first guest here and stop talking about rodents and chickens. We have, what I wanted to started to do on the show is keep an eye on our listeners, because we're Facebook friends with a lot of them, and when they do really cool horse stuff, I wanted to get them on the show to talk about it, because there's some really neat horse things happening that our visitors are either participating in or, you know, going to watch and stuff like that. So we thought we'd start getting the regular listeners. If you do something really cool, you're a regular listener to the show, then, you know, drop us an email. Drop me an email, glenn@horseradionetwork.com, or post it on our Facebook page, and we'll try and get you on the show to talk about it. So the first one of those is our friend Rick Conley, who did something really cool last weekend, and I don't know if he was there as a photographer or what. We'll find out. But it was something you don't see every day. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. How am I supposed to
Good morning.
How are you supposed to follow huge rodent balls? I'm not sure.
And chickens named Glenn and Jen. I don't know. That's pretty far out.
We can name that. You hung Rick.
Yeah. Thanks. The little fat one.
Now, Rick, you have a little farm up there. You're in Indiana or Illinois, right?
Right. I'm in Indiana, just in Indiana, right outside of Cincinnati, right where Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky all meet.
Okay. You have a farm, right?
No, I don't have a farm. I'm an equine photographer is what I do.
That's right. Okay. Got it. Are you into draft horses, though, if I remember right?
Well, originally I was into draft horses, but over the last few years, there's fewer and fewer draft horses around. The economy's really hurt the draft horses. Industry and I'm finding that a lot of the day of draft horses have gone to smaller horses or even to mules in some cases.
Yeah, that is true. Not a whole lot of the 18 and a half handers like I used to have, because it takes a whole bale of hay a day to feed the suckers. It's just expensive.
Feed them and then the equipment to move them around and the gas money and the diesel fuel costs. It's really cut into that business a lot.
And Jennifer always used to complain about cleaning that particular stall because, you know what, it took a while to clean that stall. You know, when they're 18 and a half hands, they poop bigger. It's just the nature of things. Well, now, you went this weekend to see something really cool that I didn't even know about, and I wish I'd known about it. I wish you'd told me because I would have went. Tell us about it.
Well, actually, I went on a wagon train ride. It was a week-long wagon train across the state of Kentucky. Be honest with you, Glenn, that was my third wagon train in a month. I had spent 9 days down in south central Indiana with a crew down there that did a small wagon train. About 150 miles they went. And then I spent 3 days up in Ohio, in Adams County, Ohio, up in Amish territory up there on a little three-day wagon train. But the big one was the one across Kentucky. This group, the Kentucky Trailblazers group, they've been doing this was their 41st year for this wagon train. I didn't know anything about it. I had a couple of friends that went last year, and for the last year they've been telling me, you have to go on this wagon train with us. So we left Shelbyville, Kentucky, about 30 miles east of Louisville on the 3rd of October and transited across the state over to Renfro Valley, which is where they have the big harvest festival and all the bluegrass music and musicians and all that stuff. It was pretty much fun. It was really a great group.
Well, now, from the picture I saw, there were a lot of you.
Yeah, the Southern Indiana train I went on had 11 wagons, which was a pretty good-sized group. And the one I went on up in Indiana, or up in Ohio, only had about seven or eight wagons. But this group left Shelbyville on Monday morning with 18 wagons. And by the time we got to Renfro Valley on Friday afternoon, that 18 had escalated to 31 wagons.
Wow.
And riders. Yeah, it was a big group. It took about a half a mile to a mile of highway, which didn't make us real popular, but the group stayed on a lot of small back roads. And we must have crossed the same highway a half a dozen times going from one side to the other on these little country back roads. But I got to see a lot of
Kentucky. When we used to do the carriage drives, we never did the overnight thing like you're talking about here. We used to go out like for 4 hours. But people used to come out of the houses and watch and take pictures. Did you have that happening the whole way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, when we got to this is, I guess, an annual event for this group. When we got to Renfro Valley down there, they had, of course, they have a big weekend festival with, you know, people, lots of motorhomes and day-long visitors and things. And they stopped traffic and had a big parade, and the group did a big circle like you used to see in the movies, a wagon train circle and things. But all along the way, we had people stopping and asking. We had a few people get on and ride with us for a few miles just because they had never done it. And, you know, this group, like most of these groups, is more than welcome to have visitors and people come along and ride with them. So, yeah, we had a lot of that.
Well, now, I'm looking at the pictures, and it looks like a lot of these covered wagons are homemade. You know, they're taken from regular farm wagons and made into covered wagons. Is that the case with most of these? They're just homemade covered wagons.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of them are homemade. People used to use the old farm wagons, but quite honestly, they're running gear, and they're the lumber and that on those things is so heavy, and people are going to smaller and smaller to pull them. Most of these are homemade, and the most popular are Chrysler minivan axles and Chrysler minivan seats. Because if you look at most of these wagons, they've got nice bucket seats that look like they came out of a minivan somewhere instead of the old time wooden and bench seats.
Now, do you actually sleep in the wagon and everything?
Well, about half of the people will actually sleep in their wagons, and the other half will sleep in horse trailers, or in my case, I've got a small tag-along trailer that I pull. But each day at the end of the group, they have a school bus that belongs to the club. And you go back to where you started that morning, and everybody then brings their horse trailers and vehicles back up a new site for the night. It takes quite a bit of logistics to get the wagons full of people, their vehicles moved on a daily basis. I have to say this group, although they've been doing it for years, just finding places to have that many vehicles and trailers and horses and, stake things out, it's quite a logistic task to get it all together.
I bet it is. You're actually breaking up a little bit for us there, Rick, but I do appreciate you coming on. This is fascinating stuff. We're going to post a link in our show notes to the Kentucky Trailblazers, too. Next year, let me know, because I want to come ride for a day.
Hey, sounds great. Maybe you guys could broadcast live right from the covered wagon.
I could do that. I want to do the morning show right from a wagon train.
Listen to the clippity
clop cool.
of the horses as you're talking. Yeah. Yeah, no,
I love
a lot of fun, and I've got a couple hundred pictures.
Let me know when you go in your next one.
Well, actually, we've got one Halloween weekend over in Frankfort, Kentucky,
Saturday.
And Sunday, a Saturday and Sunday ride. I don't have all the particulars on yet, but I'll forward you the flyer when it gets out here in a couple of days.
All right, do that, because I'd love to check that out. That'd be great.
Sounds great, yeah.
All right, thanks, Greg.
Okay. Have a good day, guys,
hey,
and happy birthday,
Rick.
Jamie. Yeah.
Thanks, Rick.
Hey, Rick, before you go, give your website address.
It's real easy to find. It's drafthorsephotos.com.
All right, great. Drafthorsephotos.com. Thanks, Rick Conley. Appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. See you guys.
Bye, Rick.
I want to do the morning. I want to do the morning show from a wagon train.
Yeah, I'm sure that the Wi-Fi in a wagon train is fantastic. So
across
the
rural
happen. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just be right there, no problem.
Yeah, it looks like fun though. I mean, look at all those wagons. Oh my gosh, there were a bunch of them in that picture. We're going to post the picture in our show notes too, and so that you can see that there was a bunch of them.
Hey, Glenn,
I didn't even know that kind of thing still existed.
Have you been to Renfro Valley?
No.
I would assume that in Renfro Valley, Kentucky, that kind of thing exists all the time. It's kind of like a Branson, Missouri. Have you heard of Branson, Missouri?
Yes, I have. It's a country place.
Yes, Renfro Valley is much like Branson, Missouri, but even on a smaller scale, and it's where your favorite stars from the Grand Ole Opry, when they retire from the Grand Ole Opry, they go to Branson, and then when they retire from Branson, they then go down to Renfro Valley. So wagon trains are probably common practice down there in Renfro Valley.
This has to be, you know what this is near, I think, is the original Colonel Sanders restaurant. It's down that way, because that's down that way also. That's down
possibly
in Corbin, which is down there. So we have never gone there, but it's still open. The original Colonel Sanders restaurant where he originally made his chicken was down that way. Well, that was fun. Thank you so much, Rick. As I said, if you want to be part of the show and you've done something really cool like that or just went out to see a cool event, let us know and we'll try and get you on the air. Just drop me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. All right, let's do our commercial and then we'll get to our next guest.
All right, so I'm on the Renfro Valley website and Crystal Gale and Ronnie Millsap are going to play in the next couple weeks. So, awesome. Just telling you, you're going to love it down there. You should wagon train down there this weekend. Go see all those country music shows you always wanted to go see. What do you think? Yes?
No? I think that those are pretty big names for Renfro Valley.
I know. I'm telling you. So send your angry Renfro Valley emails to jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I can take it. Horseshow.com is our sponsor for today. And at horseshow.com, you can now compete online just like you were at a regular horse show. Get judged by the top judges and get the judges' comments. All you have to do is upload your home video and enter a class online at horseshow.com. It is a simple and economic way for you to compete with your horse from home. It's also a great way to prepare for your next show or track your progress during the off season. Shows that are now open include the Early Autumn Arabian Performance Show. There is a dressage test of choice, the Fall Dressage Festival, which includes all the USEF tests. So definitely go on to horseshow.com because they feature real horse shows from many, many breeds and disciplines, and they're all judged by nationally accredited judges. So upload your video, enter, and win anytime at horseshow.com, and sometimes you may win some money, and that doesn't happen very often. So horseshow.com.
All right, terrific. Your guest is ready, Jamie.
Well, our guest is the fantastic love doctor, we call her. She is Dr. Jen from happilyeverranch.com. And Jen is going to talk to us about something that so many people that I know are going through. And it's for those of us, or those of you, who have discovered horses later in life. If you've discovered horses later in life and your family and your pre-horse friends are kind of like, what did we just sign up for? We didn't sign up for anything. And here you are living this other life because, as we know, horses is a lifestyle change for sure. So, first of all, good morning, Dr. Jen. How are you?
Good morning. How are my two favorite horse people?
Ooh, I don't know. Where are
they? I like
they?
That.
Hey, Glenn.
Oh.
Good morning, Dr. Jen.
It's always a pleasure to be with you lovely folks this early in the morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, and I know that the topic today is one that we have many listeners that are going to be familiar with, and they should probably all go and get their family right now to go listen to this. Come up, everybody, to the speakers, because you need to hear what Dr. Jen is going to say about my lifestyle change. How many people are doing that right now? Probably a lot. So talk to us, Dr. Jen. Tell us about it.
Well, I think it's funny because over here at the Happily Ever After Ranch, we keep growing and growing, and we're now up to 5 horses. And so it's starting to feel a little out of control. So even though I had a husband who signed up for it, he didn't sign up for the keep the growing herd, right? I mean, even if we have partners who understand, we can kind of keep expanding, and it can kind of it can feel like it takes over your life, right, guys? Horses can take over your life.
Absolutely. I mean, we're all wrapped up in it right now.
And so can small rodents. Just adding that.
Or cats. Small rodents or cats have a way of multiplying. Exactly. Well, you know, what I was thinking about this, you guys, is that it's really easy for, I don't know, couples or friends to get really focused on the superficial things, you know, the things that seem to matter, like time and money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really what's most important about horses, right? I mean, that's not why we do horses. Why the heck do we do horses?
Because, well, like one of my friends has a T-shirt that says, "I ride my therapist every day."
Aww. I need to get a shirt like that. I need to know where to get that shirt.
I'll try to find one for you. But, yeah, and I think that's why so many of us, like, to me, the relationship with a horse and growing and learning together and being a part of an animal like that, you know, their life, to me is so satisfying. I don't know. It's just it's something inside me that I have to have a horse around.
Exactly. And it seems that most fights revolve around the surface, the superficial, the things like time, how much time you're spending, how much money you're spending, and what you're not giving to me anymore. And I think the real simple way to resolve most conflicts that start on the surface is to go deeper, to go right to the meaning. And so if you find that the people in your life, like your friends, your family, your kids, your husband, is suddenly starting to want to, you know, create some conflict around the surface things, the quickest way to solve that is to go deeper, go to the meaning, and to explain to them why you feel drawn to horses, what it is about the time and money you spend on horses that makes it worthwhile. So as soon as you go deeper and explain why it's important to you, the conflict just changes. It almost goes away, because as soon as I understand why this is important to you, I suddenly see you come alive, and I want you to be happy, and I see your passion, and it just takes it from an entirely different level. Does that make sense? Like when the conversation is like you and me sort of kind of arguing about time or money, we get nowhere, right? Like it's sort of a cycle, because it's never going to cost less, and it's hard to take less time. But if we suddenly start talking about, you know, I'm doing this because when I do this, I feel alive, how can you argue with me?
That's really good.
Yeah. She's going to need it soon if she keeps adding pets to the equation.
I know. That's really good, but it's true. And to try to figure out a way to describe, like, when you ask why we do this with horses, it's tough to describe, because like you said, it's hard to come up with words, but those words are really good. Makes me feel alive.
All right, okay, but now I'm going to take the other side. I'm going to come out as America's horse husband here and defend the horse husbands of America and say that's all fine and good for one or two, but when it gets to 4 or 5 or 10, you can't make that same argument.
You can say, I feel alive all the time.
I feel more alive, and I feel most disalive when I have 7.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there may need to be some limits drawn, right? I mean, there may need to be some compromise. I agree on that. But But the point is to really sit down and tell each other how it makes you feel. You know, when you're on the horses, how do you feel? And so, Glenn, how would you answer that question? Because you can't fool me.
Well,
you're a horse lover.
So I sit behind them, and I do like, I absolutely love when I'm in a carriage and we're clip-clopping down the road, or in my case, going about 110 miles an hour behind a Hackney. I do like, it's just one of the things about the barn, and this even happens if you're just out there just playing, is, and especially now that our barn is separated, we're at a boarding stable. I think it was less so when I had the barn right outside the house, is you tend to forget about life and everything else that's happening in life when you're at the barn.
Yeah, so it's this feeling of maybe like freedom, relaxation. It helps all of your cares melt away. When you start thinking about that and explaining that to your friends and family, they can suddenly get it, and they can start to maybe excuse some of it. But above and beyond that, you can invite your husband, if he's the one, or your kids or your friends, you can invite them to wonder what their guilt-free pleasure could be, right? Because if you're giving them the gift of time, if you're going to be at the barn, then you're handing over to them a guilt-free section of time when they can focus on what they want and on what that would make them feel good. Like, who doesn't want that gift?
Absolutely. So part of it, so you're saying that maybe part of it is try to get them to realize what their thing is that they like to spend time doing. So, but the thing is, Dr. Jen, I know so many people that they say to me, I'm so jealous that you have horses because that's your thing. I don't know what my thing is. So what do you say to somebody with that?
Yeah, that's a little bit of the problem. Like, say your husband's jealous, but it's because he doesn't have a thing, and he forgot, and he's a little dead inside. You know, there's a part of him that maybe put away his passions, put away his childhood fantasies. So invite him, if he doesn't know what that is now, ask a lot of questions about what did he love to do when he was a kid? Or if he could do anything, what would he do? Start asking some questions and help him. Sometimes we need a little help identifying what we might want to try. And invite him to go ahead and spend an equal amount of time and money exploring what would make him feel alive or whatever. How does he want to feel? Start there. Ask him, how does he want to feel? This is how you want to feel. How does he want to feel? And help him brainstorm some ideas about what he could play with that would feel good, that would feel help him feel like you feel when you're around the horses.
Well, I think that's true, though. That doesn't just apply to horses. I mean, if you have a spouse either way who's really into golf or really into skiing or whatever, and the other one isn't, they're having the same conversation, right?
Yeah, I mean, anytime one person has a passion and the other person feels left out, this can come up. And so I think there's two solutions. One is to invite them into your passion and spend time with you in your sport so they don't feel isolated, but that only works if they have, develed an interest. And the other one is to invite them to spend more time in their own passion. And so I think that as soon as you take it out of the realm of, arguing about time and money, and you start making it about what makes life meaningful and how can you support each other in making life worthwhile, then you can really become a team. You can feel like you're a team supporting each other into your greatness. And here's the thing, actually, guys. I think research shows couples are actually happier if they take some time apart doing what they care about, doing what they're passionate about, and they come back to the relationship because it keeps the energy fresh. You've had a new experience, it's sort of reinvigorating, and when you come back happy, it's not a selfish thing. It actually builds the relationship. And so it's helpful to remember that, too. You're not taking away, you're adding to the relationship.
I'm going to throw something else in here, too. And that is true. I agree with everything you're saying, but with horses, it's a little bit different because if you have especially if you have your own barn, because whether that horse husband likes it or not, and he may not have signed on to this initially, if we're talking about women that are getting into horses later on in life, now all of a sudden we have a farm, he's out there doing repairs, he's out there helping with everything. I saw a blog post recently that I mentioned this once before in the show that I thought was absolutely brilliant. They said, if you want to keep a happy relationship and you have a farm, it requires a lot of effort and work on both parties' part, is do not make it so that every time you have your horse husband come out to the barn, he has to do nasty, yucky work. Make it so that if he comes out to the barn and you're cleaning 25 stalls that day and he's helping out, the next time he comes out to the barn, you go for a ride, maybe like just likes to casually trail ride, or you do something fun. That every time he goes to the barn, the thought is going to be, oh my God, I got to do that again, so that he's not dreading every time he goes to the barn. And I can kind of relate to that from early on when Jennifer and I first started out. You have to have those fun moments to keep it fresh and exciting for the person who hasn't yet adopted that addiction.
Yeah, and I got to tell you too, Glenn, one thing that Chad has been very excited about, because he kind of married into this and we bought a farm together, and one thing he's been loving is the fact that he has been collecting power tools. Like,
that is fun.
Stuff that he's like, I need an air compressor. I have to have one. Now he's like, I mean, check your tires. And he's like wheeling this air compressor everywhere. He loves it. Then he got a Ryobi drill. And then he's building shelves in one part of the barn. And he's just having so much fun playing with these toys. So, yes, you are correct. Everything does not need to be constant work. Because I clean the stalls and he's like, I'll dump it. You know, I'm like, you don't have to do the hard labor all the time. You can just go play with your little wood cutting kit or whatever it's called.
Exactly. You certainly don't want to make it punishing. You want to make it as much of a reward as possible, so sharing the fun moments. But they might discover things. Like I remember finding my husband out on the tractor, and there was a huge smile on his face, and I was like, what are you doing? And he was just, like, so happy. There was something so, like, manly inside being triggered by him riding around on the tractor on our land, you know. And it was, like, that was a new thrill that he hadn't experienced since he was a kid. And he had forgotten what it was like to be a man on a tractor. And so, sometimes we can help our spouses rediscover something they didn't even know, you know. I think we talked about this before, but, you know, there's other kinds of rewards that can be offered as a trade, you know. We it's always useful to keep that in your back pocket. If you do something for me, I'll do something for you, and we can keep this all happy. So.
Yeah.
You can always keep in mind that idea as well.
Well, Dr. Jen, you mentioned... Oh, no, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you not hear me? Hello?
Hey, Dr. Jen, can you hear Jamie? Oh,
you can hear me, Glenn.
Yeah, I think we lost Dr. Jen, actually. Are you still there?
Oh.
Yeah, I think we lost her.
Okay,
Jennifer, Jennifer, can you just give her a call back and tell her that we didn't hang up on her, that we just lost her there? So, I don't know what happened there.
She left the room.
Yeah, so she give her a call back. I got an email just 2 seconds ago. I got a note, actually, on my Facebook page. I won't say the person's name, but he's a fellow horse husband. And he was commenting, remember earlier in the week you had the dilemma about whether you were going to go to your grandma's 90th birthday party or the last event of the season.
In-law.
Okay, but it kind of relates to what we're talking about now. And he wrote me a note, which I thought was very insightful, and this relates to the horse-husband thing that we're just discussing. He says, I know I'm late to the party, but just two quick points on recent topics. First, as a dressage horse-husband, I've often had to attend important family functions without my wife due to shows and other horse-related issues. You will find no husband more supportive of his wife than me, but on certain occasions it does hurt my feelings, and I end up quietly feeling disrespected. Showing is the lifeblood of a horse professional's career, but once in a while you have to put family first, so good for you. The other thing is you made me spew my hotkey in the windshield as I drove to work when your guest totaled a flying dead rat on that poor girl's shoulder. That was from yesterday's show. Imagine the workers' comp complaint, one of your guy listeners. Isn't that interesting, though? His point there is, you and I think an important sentence in that is, I ended up quietly feeling disrespected, because we know how much being horses, and your husband knows how much going to that show would be. So Chad wouldn't say anything. He would go to the birthday party without you, but he would feel quietly disrespected. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting. Yeah, it is, because, you know, I pleaded with him to tell me how that would make him feel. You know, come on, babe, just let me know. If you want me to go to this, I will go. If you want me to go, I will go. Just tell me if you want me to go, I will go. But I don't think he wanted to be the one to tell me, because if he says, I want you to go, that means I don't want you to do the horse show.
Yeah, that's sort of like asking, does my butt look fat in these pants? Either way, we lose.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And that's probably true for the most part. But, I mean, sometimes we do want to know whether our butt looks fat, okay? Well, maybe not our butt looks
fat. Yeah, but
fat.
Don't ask us.
Yeah. But when I ask him, do you want me to go to this party, I really honestly wanted an answer. So I would like to tell the listener, if your guy listener that wrote in, sometimes don't be quiet about it. If you're getting your feelings hurt, speak up, because, you know, just like us, we think that sometimes men are mind readers. We think that he should know. Like, say you're sitting there and you're looking at your significant other, boyfriend, husband, and you're like, oh, what is he looking at? He is looking at that over there, and he is thinking this, and he is thinking that. Well, he is thinking that, oh, my God, he must be thinking this, blah, 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 blah. And what they're really thinking is, you know, I like hot dogs. You know, I just... But we completely, as women, just completely throw so many emotions up on the wall of our significant other, and they might not be thinking that at all. Well, men go, oh, she doesn't care. She's this. She's this. Well, we don't know what you're thinking, and you guys don't know what we're thinking. So let's open the communication lines a little bit bigger. And if you want something, male listener that wrote to Glenn, then say it. And my husband, if you want something, say it. And I'll do the same for you. If I want something, I will say it. Jennifer, Glenn, if you guys want something, say it to each other. Got it?
Got it.
You're making brownies tonight, right? You said say it, so I'm saying it.
She wants brownies. By God, make her brownies.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jamie. And also thank you to Dr. Jen, our love doctor. We're sorry she got cut off there. It's happilyeverafterranch.com. What an interesting conversation. I always find those horse-husband conversations interesting. It's happilyeverafterranch.com, and hopefully next time we'll have a better connection with her. This song today is fun. Yeah.
Before you do the song, I got to tell you, as women, the smartest thing we ever did, our place is not big enough to own a tractor. But here's a little piece of advice on the sly. We had to go get a lawnmower, so I suggested that we get the riding lawnmower, and now he calls the riding lawnmower his tractor. So he loves riding around on his, and I use finger quotes in the air, tractor. So brilliant to rename whatever that utility is, name it a tractor, men, something about men. Glenn, are you the same way? Do you just love
I loved our big tractor. I loved our big tractor. I would love going out to mow. I love putting the bush hog on and going out to mow. Jennifer will confess, will admit that I did love our big. We had a big tractor. We had an Oliver 77 or 770, which is a huge tractor.
Tires were taller than me.
Yeah, you had to take three steps to get up onto that tractor. That was a manly tractor. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
He put on his headphones and just go out there and mow all day long. It was great.
I would mow all day
long.
It's something I could do successfully without getting in trouble.
We have a riding lawnmower, but it emotes the same thing out of a man to just sit on something and drive it.
Oh, and by the way, Jamie, I had an entire 7 garages full of tools, so I know exactly how he feels about that, because there was actually a legitimate excuse to buy each and every one of them. And when you don't have a farm, you don't have that excuse, so you're just buying them for fun. But when you have a farm, she can't argue, because I need that to help you.
I did argue the fact that he did not need a $300 air compressor to fill up his bicycle tires.
Yeah, but he can now use that also to fill up his tractor tires.
Uh-huh, exactly. I'm like, okay. All right, let's play this song.
Speed XL is turning 3, and they're having a little celebration. They are actually 3 years old. This Saturday, the 22nd of October, will be 3 years since they first released the FeedXL.com website, which was open then to Australian horse owners. And since then, FeedXL has run 600,000 diet analyses for horses, and 20,000 horses have been helped by FeedXL in 13 countries and 4 continents. And they just won an award for the best software product in the Australian Business Awards. So how cool is that? To celebrate, they have 5 days of specials coming up from the 22nd through the 27th. So go to feedxl.com, sign up for their newsletter on their website, and you'll get an email when those specials come out over the next 5 days. So visit them at feedxl.com to see what's going on. You might even get a discount on your next analysis. Check it out, feedxl.com. And I thought, you know, you had one of your favorites yesterday, and I know that this is also one of your favorites, and it's by your old partner in the music business, and that is Lindsay Rakers, and this song is called Breaking Up. And I think she wrote this about you and 65 of your boyfriends. Lindsay Rakers, the Lindsay Rakers Band. You can find all of their music at lindsayrakersband.com. The song was called Breaking Up, of course. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I am Glenn the Geek. I'm here with Jamie Jennings, and my lovely wife, Jennifer, is producing today. And this episode is sponsored by Horseshow.com. We appreciate them being part of this. There's several horse shows going on over there right now that you can be a part of just by submitting a video at Horseshow.com. Well, there's a real horse show coming up that we're going to talk about right now, and that's the Alltech National Horse Show here in Lexington, Kentucky, only a few weeks away now. And we have old friend from the World Equestrian Games days, Billy Fry from Alltech, is on the line. Hi, Billy.
Glenn, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Billy and I ran into each other many times during the World Equestrian Games out at the park, and he looked pretty haggard most of the time. But now life's a little simpler, but it's only a little horse show, only 4 days.
Yeah, it's a little bit smaller show, but no less important and impactful to Lexington and to, of course, all your listeners in the horse industry.
Well, and I know you want to come on today, and I was checking out, you know, you want to come on today and make an announcement about where people can catch the horse show and another project, the Alltech Ag Network. I went on to this website you're going to talk about. I had never seen this before. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's actually fairly new and definitely new to the equestrian audience. It was just started about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a company called iHi.com. And it was started by a guy named Jim Host, who your listeners might remember Mr. Host, the guy who was the chairman of the committee to get the 2010 World Equestrian Games to come to Lexington. He actually helped put together the bid, went over to the Middle East and secured the bid, and he was the CEO for the first 2 years of the game. So he put together this little side project, and we just partnered with him about 2 months ago. And to form the Alltech Ag Network, iHi.com, with the name Hi, and they work with high schools. So that's probably why you didn't hear about it. But now that we have the Alltech Ag Network, of course, that encompasses everything in agriculture, which horses are a very, very, very significant part of agriculture. So
yeah, I noticed. Yeah, I went to over to iHi, which is the letter I, H-I-G-H.com. And it is a network that was started to carry sporting events for high schools and I guess colleges, too. So basically for kids, you know, stuff for kids. I noticed that the Pony Club has something over there as well. And it's just a really neat – and I have to say, coming from a website developer's point of view, it is a really organized, very visually attractive, and it just works.
Yeah, it's really cool. The cool thing about it, traditionally, you know, the concept behind it was high schools didn't really have a way to broadcast their ball games, their football games, basketball games, whatever, because, of course, to get on even a local television station, as you know, is a huge undertaking, lots of money, and then, of course, you have to buy the airtime. This allows any group or organization, just like the Pony Club, to shoot a video. It can be one camera, it can be five HD cameras like what we'll have at the National Horse Show, to broadcast it right on the air. And the really, really cool thing about it is it goes not only live to your laptop, but live to your mobile phone. So if you have a BlackBerry, iPhone, an Android, an iPad, whatever, you can watch live television right on your phone.
Well, now you're going to be doing the Alltech National Horse Show live so that people can watch it from this iHi.com or from the Alltech Ag Network?
AlltechAgNetwork.com, that's correct. And we've partnered with one group you've heard about probably and one that you haven't. The first one is Carr Hughes. They, of course, shoot and do all the video for the Alltech World Equestrian Games. They do the Rolex every year. They're going to be on site there shooting and broadcasting the event. So you know it's going to be very high quality. If you saw the Alltech Games on NBC, you know that was superbly done. They've won Emmys on that. And then we've also partnered with a local university, Asbury University, which some people may have heard of, some haven't. We wanted to get the kids involved and make use of all the surrounding talent. So Asbury actually works every year every year that it's held on the Olympics in the Summer and Winter Olympics. So they're getting ready for London next year, and this is a great precursor to work on the National Horse Show, their students to work on that before they go over to London to shoot the 2012 Olympics. And then, of course, we'll take all the feeds and blast it out through the computers, and then you can watch it on your mobile phone. And you can watch it. We're going to have every event covered. It's wall-to-wall. I think there's about 50 hours of coverage on there, so you don't have to miss a second of it. And if you do miss a second, you can go back and watch it on demand. It's all right there, and you can watch it whenever you want it.
Of course, we'd prefer if they all came out to Lexington and saw it, but we know that not everybody can do that. So I love that this is an alternative for people to get to see events. You know, we've come so far in the last 10 years. This would not have been possible 10 years ago, and you would have had to come to Lexington to see this event, and now you can catch it in the comfort of your home. Is it a free service, or is there a membership, or how's that work?
Completely free. You can go on there and just log on and check it out. We want to take horse sport to everybody and get more people involved, and we know the beauty of this all is it's all advertiser-supported, so supporting these advertisers will help. Actually, you get to watch these world-class athletes compete over and over again. And so, yeah, it's a great thing, and we're really excited about it.
All right, give me a website address where people can find it.
It's alltechagnetwork.com. That's A-L-L-T-E-C-H, agnetwork.com. And if they want to go check it out, you were checking it out, Glenn. You probably saw the FFA National Convention going on, which is going on right now. We had 13,000 to 14,000 views of the video last night of the opening ceremony in Indianapolis. We had 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people watch the morning session this morning when the kids are doing a little press conference. You can go check anything out. I'm sure several of your listeners were in FFA, and they can go watch the live convention if they want to. We all remember how big an event that was. They can go check it out and watch it live right now. I think the next broadcast starts at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
You know what else I was looking at was the Colorado State Fair Texas Longhorn Show. Because that was also on there, and I went, what? that was one of those what moments, but I found myself watching it.
As you know, there's so much you can find there, and just like you starting the Horse Radio Network, they possibilities of learning about what else is happening in our world, and that's what we want to do with agriculture and horse sport, is to expose more people to what's going on. You would have never known about the Colorado State Fair Longhorn.
No, I would have not.
But now you know a little bit about it, and that's what we really need to do. We need to be able to tell people. We all know how cool these things are. We all know how agriculture and horse sport is so fun and so interesting to watch, but a lot of people don't know, and the reason they don't know is just because they haven't been exposed. And what this allows us to do is really expose them to, hey, not only can I tell you how cool it is, I can show you how cool it is. And, in fact, if you're sitting there right with your iPhone, you can watch it right there. And that's even cool in and of itself, is to be able to watch live television on your phone. This is something that's new. ESPN does it a little bit, but they don't do it to the extent folks at iHeart broadcast 200 football games on Friday nights live to mobile phones every night. There's nobody in the world that's doing it to this extent that we're doing it with.
To get off the horses a little bit, I love the fact that with iHi now, you know, grandparents that aren't in the area can watch their kids, you know, their grandkids play football. You know, that was never possible to that lower level before either. It's really cool. All right, it's Alltech Ag and Network. Thank you so much, Billy, for joining us today. And the show is only a couple of weeks away, everybody. It's the first week of November, and I believe it starts on the 2nd, doesn't it, Billy?
November 2nd to the 6th, that's correct. And I think we have a couple tickets to give away to the show, Glenn.
Yeah, and the last week's winner was Lindsay Nebbett got last week's question. The question was an easy one last week. It was what global equine landmark is also a state park, campground, world-renowned equestrian competition facility, and has some 35 different breeds living on the ground. And, of course, that was the Hong Kong Horse Park.
Liar.
Of course, that was the Kentucky Horse Park. So that's congratulations to Lindsay for winning that. Drop an email to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with your contact information and your address so that we can get you those tickets. And this week's question is, are you ready, Jamie? What horse rider team, okay, so what horse rider team who competed at the National Horse Show was a guest on a late night television show?
Got it, done.
You already know?
I already know.
Oh, you can't win, so don't. But post the answer on our Facebook page. Jennifer's going to post the question up there at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Post the answer, and we will pick a winner to receive two tickets to the Alltech National Horse Show. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. You all have a great day.
All right. Bye. Are here at Horse Rider today, huh?
Hey, Glenn, I can't hear you at all. Are you breaking up a little bit?
I don't know. Jennifer, can you hear me?
Oh, you're back now.
Okay, you're back.
Okay, I'm gonna call back. So why don't you take it away, Jamie?
Okay, we're going to hang up on you, and we're going to talk to Lisa. And we've got Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse here. How's it going, Lisa?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic, doing great.
Excellent.
You know the answer to that trivia question? Did you hear it?
I don't. Actually, I didn't hear it. I was sort of zoning out.
Okay.
So I don't know the answer.
That's okay. You're probably working for the Chronicle. You get to go to the horse show for free. So how's it going? First of all, what are you recapping? I hear you have a hotel horror story, and if you heard Glenn's, I think that Glenn probably got a disease or something from being at that hotel. So what happened with you?
Well, this isn't the most recent thing. This actually happened back in the spring. So it's about an 8-hour drive from Middleburg, where we're based, to Lexington, Kentucky. So oftentimes we leave after work, like the day before Rolex or the day before whatever. And we drive, 4 hours, which usually puts us somewhere right smack in the middle of West Virginia, which is fine. No problems with West Virginia. But last time when we were on our way to Rolex, we stopped. It was pretty late. We got a hotel, a Holiday Inn Express, which they're usually pretty reliably good. And we get in our room, and we're getting ready to go to bed. And I pull back the sheets of my bed, and there is, like, a pair of dirty socks in the bed.
Oh!
Yeah. So, from that, you can kind of assume the sheets haven't been changed in a while. And it was pretty disgusting.
Oh, God.
Did I miss a disgusting hotel story?
You did.
She pulled the sheets back to get into bed, and there were dirty socks in the sheets.
Yeah.
Gross.
Welcome to Fair Hill.
No, this was actually at Rolex earlier in the year. Fortunately, I had no Fair Hill hotel horror stories. But it was
down here. Was it in Lexington? You had
this
box.
It was on our way. We stop usually halfway in West Virginia,
You never stop in West Virginia.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, listen, you can drive through West Virginia in just a couple hours. Just press on. Just keep going.
If you make it to West Virginia, just keep going.
Just keep going. You're almost out of it.
It's true. So, yeah, that was a pretty disgusting thing that happened.
That's gross. So tell us a little bit. I know you were at Fair Hill, speaking of Fair Hill. Tell us a little bit about that.
I was at Fair Hill. This is actually my very first time. Like, somehow I've never even made it there to spectate before. So I was very excited. The first
let's
2 days were...
Let's tell everybody what Fair Hill is.
Fair Hill is a fall 3-day in the U.S. It's the only fall 3-star, and they also have a 2-star that runs along with it. So, actually, that's not true. They do have a 3-star in Galway now. It's the only East Coast fall 3-star.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's in Elkton, Maryland, which is just absolutely beautiful countryside. And the thing about Fair Hill that I've heard is that the weather is either awesome or terrible. It's either like beautiful fall weather or it's freezing and raining. So we actually had a little bit of both. Thursday and Friday, it was freezing and raining. And then by Saturday and Sunday, it cleared up and it was absolutely beautiful. So it was very exciting. There were lots of good comeback stories. We had Boyd Martin, who ended up winning with his he had this horse that he first came to the U.S. with in 2007 called Ying Yang Yo. And he ran it around Rolex a couple times. The last time was that infamous time where he dropped into the head of the lake and knocked himself out on the horse's neck.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a really good video on YouTube of that, actually.
Of course there is.
Because
he
ends up like falling into the water and just sort of floating around in there for a little while. So that horse ended up being sort of semi-retired after that incident. I guess he had some sort of lameness things that just wouldn't go away. He's owned by a woman, Faye Wolf, who owned one of the horses who died in Boyd Martin's barn fire. And so after the fire, somehow Boyd ended up with the horse back at his barn, just riding it a little bit, and he sort of said, like, wow, this horse feels really good. I think maybe he has a little bit more upper-level life left in him. And so he went to Fair Hill after just doing a couple of advanced horse trials, and he won. So that was really exciting.
It's such a good story, though, the fact that they had pretty much retired this horse.
Yep.
And after she also owned a horse, again, that you said that died in the fire, and she wanted to keep his business going. So she sent this horse back to him for training and said, here, see what you can do with Ying Yang Yo. And I think, what do they call him, like Teddy or
Thomas.
Something?
Thomas.
Yep. So they send him back this horse, and it's like, see maybe what can happen with him. See if there's anything you can do with him. And they go out and win freaking Fair Hill. Like,
how
great of a story is that?
And Boyd was so happy to win. Although, also, he was competing against Jan Benny, who she had a horrible fall in the spring of 2010. The fall itself actually wasn't that bad, but she ended up having, I think, a minor surgery, and she ended up having a stroke. So she had to relearn how to talk. She had to relearn how to use her right hand. So this was her first big competition back, and she also did just awesome. She was leading after cross country, and she had a couple rails in show jumping, but she was still third, and it was really cool. Like, pretty much every press conference was just everyone getting choked up, you know, about Jan's story and Boyd's story, and it was just pretty cool all around.
You know, when you think about that, here she is and had a stroke, and she was back at a three-star competition leading the way, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. And really not that long after. I mean, a year and a half, that's not a...
No, that's not a long
time
at all. And I did want to mention to everybody that Boyd, you can hear Boyd's happiness on the Eventing Radio show this week. It comes out today. And he was the co-host of the show this week. It was on with Chris. So you'll hear that.
Cool.
Come out later today if you want to hear him tell his own story and get a little emotional, too.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a fantastic story, and it was just a cool thing. So thanks for bringing that to light and letting our listeners know, because, again, it was just awesome for both of those guys to be, you know, after having the year that Boyd has had and the tough almost 2 years that Jan's had, to come back like that, it was just phenomenal.
Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool to watch.
Hey, Lisa, did at Fair Hill, they in the past have had a dog show goes on at the same time with agility and all that stuff. Were all the hounds there, too?
They were doing, for some reason, they couldn't have the competition this year, but they had like an agility demonstration set up, which I didn't really get to see any of, unfortunately. I just saw like the setup with it, but that seems pretty cool.
There used to be like a million dogs there.
There weren't a million, but something actually really scary happened on cross country day. I guess they did tailgating this year. I think it was maybe the first time. And one of the dogs in someone's tailgating area got loose and actually got ran over by Holly Payne and Madeline when they were going on their cross country course.
Yeah.
But everyone ended up fine somehow, amazingly. The dog was fine. And the horse was fine.
I read that she was, like, freaking out, though, because as she, you know, she has to keep going.
Right.
And
yeah,
so she runs over this dog, and she's galloping away, and all she hears is,
Yeah.
She has to keep going. She said she felt so terrible about the whole thing.
Oh, I can't imagine.
But yeah, that's got to be a little bit tough to keep going, but she did. Yeah. And oh my God. Okay.
Do you remember remember 2 years ago when Buck was on the cross country course of Rolex and a dog came out and bit his horse's leg?
Yes, that was crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, Buck Davidson gets bit by a
by
dog.
By the way, Boomer would be that dog, don't you think?
Boomer would just go along with them and be like, where are we going? Let's go. I'll jump the
barking
jump too.
The whole
way. Yeah. Barking the entire way, yeah. Well, Lisa, thanks for coming on, letting us know. Hey, did you see the Shetland Pony races?
No, because it was during the press conference for the 2 stars, so I could hear how awesome it sounded, but I couldn't actually see it, which made me sad.
It was pretty funny. Pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
We posted some pictures of that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I saw those. Those looked pretty amazing.
About. Yeah. Well, thanks, Lisa. We will talk to you next week, and have a great weekend.
Thanks. You guys, too.
All right.
Of course, that is
Bye.
cronofhorse.com that Lisa is with, and you can find the wrap-up article there about Fairhill International from the weekend at cronofhorse.com. Mm-hmm. So what a day. We've talked about a lot of different stuff today, huh?
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been so busy that when I gave the daily whinny to my husband for getting the guinea pig, I forgot to mention what we did after the guinea pig.
I'm ready. You bought a giant rat?
No.
To go with the little rat?
I can't tell you everything. He's not a rat. We actually packed up the horses and went on a sunset trail ride. I mean, come on. How awesome is that?
Wow, that's romantic.
It was very romantic. I put him on my big warm blood and Gabe put a Western saddle on him. We walked around the neighborhood. My horse, Chad's like, he does a neck rein. I'm like, he's not a neck rein horse. He's a 16.3 in warm blood who does dressage. No, he does a neck rein, honey. You're going to actually have to use 2 hands. So it was very fun. When was the last time you rode a horse, Glenn?
Oh, just a couple weeks ago in Pigeon Forge, remember, upside a mountain and down.
I think that it's time. That you and Jennifer got 2 horses because she cannot enjoy trail riding with you at the farm if there's only one horse to ride. It's only fair.
Well, I think if there's a second horse, it's not going to be a riding horse. It's going to be a driving horse.
Oh, there you go. So is Beaker broke to ride alongside a cart?
any one of them can get. You know, we used to go out all the time to a state game lands near where we lived, and we. By the way, you're getting cursed out by Jennifer on because I've been bugging about getting a driving pony. We used to go out to the state game lands. I used to bring my cart along and the pony, and a whole bunch of riders, our boarders and stuff, would go out. We used to ride for hours, and the first time they would go out, the horses that hadn't seen the cart before would be a little freaked out. But by the time you were done with one session, they would follow the cart with their heads hanging over it like they were attached to it. I kept having to shoo the horses away because they kept, snuzzling my head. And for some reason, horses just, after they've been out a couple times with it, they just take to those carts and they want to be the one right there with their head hanging over it. I think it's sort of, maybe it's a comfort thing or something, a protection thing. I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna argue with you right there because in my neighborhood, there's plenty of room. There's easements cut for like horses to go down the side of the road. And so as we were out like trail riding around our neighborhood, and it's great until the stupid people who live like 2 streets down that drive minis. You would think that a mini trotting at full speed was like a shotgun being pointed at the horse and that is the scariest thing to a thoroughbred ever, is to see a mini come trotting at full speed with a cart behind them. It's horrible.
And full speed with a mini is about 3 miles an hour.
But they're little selfie along the pavement. It's like, oh my God, it's the scariest thing for a horse ever. Is anybody else's horse afraid of miniatures? My horses are terrified. Like, they'll trot down the road next to my farm when all the horses are in their stalls, and all my horses will spook in their stalls because there's a horse up on the road, a mini on the road, driving by with a cart.
You guys need some desensitization lessons.
Yeah, like you.
I think you need a mini. That'll solve the problem.
Yeah.
Now tell Chad we need a mini to desensitize my horses.
Oh my God, you're gonna have me divorced before the end of the day. Jeez. And I'm gonna have you divorced because I still think you should get a driving pony, and your wife is adamantly opposed. Why is she adamantly opposed to you getting a horse, a pony? Jennifer?
Probably fence more than anything.
Well, you know how it is when the kids bug mommy and daddy for a puppy? And they get the kids
yes.
puppy and they say, okay, kids, you're going to take care of the puppy. It's going to be responsibility time. Who cleaned Glenn's harness? Jennifer's riding student. Who cleaned Pony's stall?
I love riding students.
See, I don't have a staff of working students anymore to take care of his pony for him.
But you know, I love broke teenagers when we had our farm because you could pay them $5 and they'd do anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, go wash my cart, $5. Go clean my harness, $5. Go harness up my pony, $5. It was great. I love starving children.
Yes. Glenn loves to drive the pony. He doesn't necessarily like to do all the maintenance.
I love driving the pony. And I love brushing the pony, but I'm not so much on taking care of all the crap. And the cheapest part of driving is obviously buying the pony. Then you got to buy a carriage and a harness and, blah, 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 and a thing to haul it with, and it just adds up.
Yeah. We'll rent you one
okay.
up at Gala. How's that? We'll just rent you one. Sterling.
And Wendy said she would let me have one. She said, "I'll give you a rig."
See, there you go. And I'm looking on Craigslist right now, and there's an ad, and it's titled Perfect Welsh Ponies. Okay, not only are they ponies, they're perfect.
Perfect.
Okay,
Welsh
so
ponies.
You can get perfect ponies.
Speaking of Craigslist, don't forget to get your Craigslist ads in before today, the end of the day today. For really bad ads tomorrow, we're giving away Bucks of Film. We're going to send you a copy of Bucks of Film, so you'll be able to get your very own copy. You'll be able to have Buck in your living room yelling and screaming at his students. No, that was just the one place. But you can have Buck right there in your living room on your big TV, and you can do that just by submitting really bad ads today. Did you get some more yesterday, Jennifer? Any really good ones?
I got a couple this morning, and one of our prolific regular submitters sent a couple of really good ones.
All right, there's the throwdown. Get your really bad ads in today. Get on Craigslist. Check them out. You know, they don't even have to be in your area. You can play around with other areas, too. You can look around the country if you want to. Jamie just happens
yeah.
to get lucky every week because she lives in really bad ad state. Of Arizona,
you know,
where apparently nobody is.
I'm starting to get frustrated with the fact that I keep looking at these really bad ads, and most of them are from my neighborhood. Like, really? Okay. Why can't people spell or punctuate? I don't get it. Oh, here's
well,
one that says,
you.
"She is my. This horse is my baby. And it's breaking my heart, but I have to get rid of her because I'm too busy." Like,
and oh, by the way, did you guys see the picture I posted this morning of the manly, studly, looking?
I'm losing you again, but I'm thinking you're talking about the hot guy in the water.
Are you still there, Jamie?
I'm here.
You're here.
Did we lose?
Yeah, I think we lost. Yep, he's sneezing.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's talking about the picture he posted with the baby dolphin and the guy. And I was just thinking if the guy was shirtless, it would be a little bit better picture, but it's still good. So go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page and check it out there. Let's see if Glenn's back yet. Glenn, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There he is.
Okay, that's better. All right, well, let's
Boy, we're having serious troubles. Let's get out of here.
I know. Let's wrap it up today.
Go ahead. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Sorry for the technical troubles this morning. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be back to normal. You can find all the show notes for today's show on horsesinthemorning.com. Don't forget about our website. Stop over there. Also, if you're going to buy anything at Amazon, just stop over to our website first at horsesinthemorning.com. Click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page, and if you just get a little bit of credit for that. It doesn't cost you any extra. It just takes an extra click. We appreciate your support that way. And, of course, you can listen to the recorded versions of the show. About 90% of the people do. And you can find those on iTunes as well. Just search for Horses in the Morning and subscribe, and you'll get it automatically downloaded to your player every day. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9 a.m. We have Cooking with Reese tomorrow. You're finally going to be here when Reese is here.
I know. Maybe she'll have another vegetarian dish that I'll have to try this weekend. But everybody, please have a great day. Remember, spay, neuter, and Sumiko, by the way, is working on finding out if I can neuter the guinea pig. So spay, neuter, and geld, everybody.
I recommend a rubber band. Rubber band. That's the old stuff. Old school.
See you, Taylor.